everyone, and welcome to another episode of The Breakdown. My name is Andrea Montenegro, and with me is my co-host, Dom V. Shaw.
Hi, everyone.
Yes. Also joining us today are two incredibly distinguished women, the co-hosts of the Hot Mics from Left to Right podcast, and CNN commentators, Alice Stewart and Maria Cardona. Alice, Maria, go ahead and introduce yourselves to the audience.
I'm Maria Cardona. It's such a pleasure to be with both of you, Andrea and Danvi. Both Alice and I have been doing this for a very long time. And when we saw the layout of what you wanted to do and your podcast and your enthusiasm about getting involved in politics, we are thrilled to join you. And we can't wait for this lively conversation.
And I'm Alice Stewart, and I, with Maria, I agree. I'm super excited to do this each week on our podcast, Hot Mics from Left to Right. We try to engage in civil conversations about politics coming from each side of the aisle, but doing it in a respectful way. And what we do in our professional lives is have these conversations often with people that are similar in experience and background as we are, but it is very exciting for us to talk to young and up and coming people, whether they're involved in politics or journalism or media or business, and share what we have learned and the things we've succeeded in and the things we have failed in, right? Because I think you learn just as much from what you fail in as what you succeed in. Mm-hmm. And hopefully this will be a meaningful conversation. And I'm super excited to talk with these young folks.
We are so excited to have both of you on our podcast this month. So if you just can introduce yourselves a little bit about your work at CNN, and then maybe even talk about your podcast. As you said, it's a left to right podcast. So you have discussions once in a while from both sides of the political spectrum.
Sure. So I started doing political commentary for CNN. Wow. It's going to be 10 years now. I can't believe it. I was hired officially in 2011, but I had been doing television commentary for quite some time, but on all of the networks. I was on CNN, I was on MSNBC, I did a ton of Fox, lots and lots of Fox News. Fox News loved me. Alice teases me about this all the time. But I also did Univision, I did Telemundo, I did CNN Español. And in fact, that's how I started, by doing a lot of the political commentary in Spanish. And, you know, that was an area where it was wide open because there were hardly any young women, native Spanish speakers who knew about politics, who were immersed in politics, who could come on and speak on national and frankly international programs in Espanol to talk about the primaries, to talk about the presidential campaigns, to talk about, you know, some of the arcane rules that are used in this country to elect a president. And so I think that really helped me out and helped get me noticed. And then using that, I jumped to doing a lot of MSNBC, like I said, a lot of Fox, and then CNN started calling. And when in 2011, when there was the windup for the Obama reelection, CNN offered me an exclusive contract to do political commentary for them in English and in Espanol. And so I've been doing that ever since. And it has been a wonderful, wonderful experience, a huge learning experience as well. You meet so many wonderful people. Alice and I have become lifelong friends through that work. And what I think has been important about it is that you run into all kinds of people doing this kind of political commentary. People who are true political operatives, as we like to say. I've done presidential campaigns. Alice has done presidential campaigns. And other people who kind of are just trying to ride the wave of the moment. And you can tell which is which. The other thing you run into is people who are very passionate about their positions and can defend them with facts, with history. And then there are other people who are just in it for their 15 minutes of fame, who want to say and will say anything and everything to get noticed. Those people don't last a very long time. Alice and I have encountered any and all of the above, and probably even more. But what I have learned, and especially through CNN, because CNN, I think, has hired the best and the brightest in the business. You know, Alice and I come at politics from two very different lenses, from two very different backgrounds and experiences, but we have found common ground in understanding that we can have these conversations with civility, that we can have these conversations with an open mind, and that we can have these conversations with respect and even come to admire and love each other as friends, as women professionals. We have really found that bond, especially in DC. This is still very much a white man's world that is changing, but it still has not changed as much as it should. And so having these kinds of connections and sisterhood is incredibly important.
I agree with everything Maria said in terms of finding a sisterhood and building on that. My background, I was a news anchor and reporter and a journalist for many years. And then I transitioned into politics back in 2008. And I worked on five presidential campaigns. And then I got into, I also had a I was deputy secretary of state in the state of Arkansas. I had a radio show. I did a lot of television commentary like Maria on all of the networks. And when you're on a presidential campaign as a spokesperson, you are speaking for the campaign and you are giving the message of the campaign. But when you're out there as a commentator, it's actually very freeing because you're saying exactly what you feel, exactly what you think. You're able to be certainly much more honest with yourself because you're talking about what you feel. And I really appreciate that part of what I do. I signed on with CNN right after the 2016 campaign and moved to DC and really got immersed in CNN world, oftentimes traveling to New York City two or three times a week and doing the commentary from up there, many times from here. But it's been just a real blessing to be able to follow politics. But like Maria said, there are people that have a passing interest in politics and they're on television, but there are others that actually have street cred and have actually done it and know what they're talking about. And I think a lot of you, if you watch news, you can tell the difference. And I think that's what makes Maria so good at what she does and others, because they know exactly what they talk about, and that's important. I also do NPR panels on National Public Radio. As they mentioned, I'm a fellow at Harvard. I'm on the board of the Kennedy Institute of Politics and work with young students on this very issue, the importance of having civil conversations and finding common ground and agreeing to disagree and having political conversations with respect to the other side, not getting caught in silos of ideology and respecting other people's. I think that's so important for people of the younger generation to try and learn that early on, because it's important to carry that as you move forward. And, you know, one of the things, as Maria said, we are polar opposites politically, but we have a true respect and friendship and love for each other. And that is how we got to where we are. We would often sit in the green room and talk before our CNN panels, and people would say, y'all need to have your own segment. You need to have your own show. Right. And we laughed about that. But when, as soon as COVID hit, we went and had Starbucks one day and said, we actually need to do a podcast. We need to actually do what people think would be good. And out of that is how this was born. So COVID has been a blessing and a curse for many people, but we took that as an opportunity to take what really isolated a lot of people. And it really has brought us together and brought about some meaningful conversations. Mm-hmm. And we think that's really important.
Definitely. And I know that Dombey and I are both very grateful for your podcast. We're both big fans, because we also do feel that something that is keeping us back as a country, you know, from progress is not being able to have those conversations to bridge that gap. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think that's a product of our current political climate. Mm-hmm. As far as being commentators go, I'm really curious, you know, Alice, you mentioned how Maria knows her facts. She goes on air and she defends her position. Being women and, you know, being in a male-dominated field, do you think that you've had to go that extra step to prove yourself, be more assertive and really hold your position and be able to stand your ground?
Well, it's really important. People that are watching this, I would imagine 99% of them are women. And let me tell you this. Oftentimes in the business world or the political world, if women are firm and show their conviction and put their foot down and speak their mind, they are referred to as the B word and in a negative light. But that is being strong, that is being full of your conviction, that is speaking your mind, and that is making your case. And that is really important. And the key to doing that and successfully doing that is when you are making an argument based on facts. You can certainly do so also with your feelings, but you need to have the facts on your side and stick with the facts and why you feel the way you do. And secondly, and importantly, Maria does not do this. I do not do this, but make it about policy, make it about politics. Don't make it personal. Don't call people names. Don't insult people because that's not furthering the conversation. So it's really important to stick to the facts and the policy and the politics of something and keep the personal attacks out of the arena, because it's just not helpful. And to be quite honest, it just, in my view, it shows that you really don't have a case to make and you really can't make a good argument if you're just going to insult someone.
Yeah, so let me follow that up with, first of all, I agree with everything Alice just said. And to your question, as women, and I felt this also, especially as a Latina, yeah, absolutely. We had to prove ourselves more so than the white guy next to us. There's no question about that. Any woman, and especially any woman of color, can tell you that that is absolutely the case. And so what I know for a fact, because I've seen her do it and I do it as well, before we go on to a segment, and especially when we would go up to New York, like Alice was talking about, when we would go up there several times a week to do the 2-hour panels for Anderson Cooper or to go on a special election coverage for Don Lemon, you had to know your stuff. And so we prepared. It was like doing homework, and we had to read up on the issues. We had to read up on the latest news, on the latest statements. What was the president saying? What were his opponents saying? What was the House of Representatives saying? What was the senator saying? I mean, everything, right? And we had to then also come up with, what were we going to say that actually brought some light to the conversation? One of the most helpful pieces of advice that I was given when I first started CNN from the woman who was appointed to help all of the commentators is that, you know, so many in cable news want to bring the heat, and you want to bring the light as opposed to the heat, right? You want to bring something new to the conversation. You want to make people think about what you said. You don't want to rile people up. You don't want to make people angry. You know, you want to say your piece with passion. And that's another thing I think that Alice and I are very good at doing. And I think people appreciate that because we don't back down from our positions. But again, we back them up with facts, we back them up with figures, we back them up with empirical evidence, with history, and we do it passionately. But that doesn't mean that you're gonna go out there and, you know, start throwing firebombs at whoever it is that you're up against, right? Because that doesn't do anyone any good, and it's only gonna hurt your own image. Again, a lot of people have gotten quote unquote famous for that, but I don't think, for me, it's more like infamous. That doesn't last very long. And I think you lose credibility quite quickly. And credibility in this business is really the only thing you have. And so, yes, I would say that as women, and this will continue to be the case, we need to be prepared. We need to always be ready, having done our homework, having done you know, all of the backgrounders, read all the fact sheets, whoever, and I'm sure you guys do this all the time. You guys know that this is the case. You can't run a podcast, you can't have done this interview show without having understood what Alice's background in history is without having read my bio and understanding a little bit about where I'm coming from. And so it's the same, you guys are taking this seriously. It's the same thing with what Alice and I do every day on CNN. We take it seriously, so we take the time to be prepared. You know, we have been on with other people who don't necessarily have taken their roles as seriously. And frankly, in the end, it shows.
I think that's just so important for young women to hear that they're not alone in feeling this sort of imposter syndrome when they're amongst other men or other people that weren't generally as underrepresented as women are, especially as you said, women of color. I know Andrea and I both come from immigrant families. So we firsthand know the impact that politics has on immigrant communities. For me personally, that actually meant that a lot of people in my community weren't politically involved, even though they should have been. And you went into this earlier, but as a political commentator for CNN Español, how does the language barrier prevent people from getting into politics? And how do you think it's difficult for people to understand that politics is inherently different for immigrants? How do you think that we can get politics out there?
That's such a great question, Danvi, because I had the privilege of hosting a show during the 2020 election cycle. I worked for a network called El Rey Network, and they asked me to host a political show called The Maria Show, The Maria Show, as I like to call it.
And with an exclamation point.
With an exclamation point, exactly. And my tagline for the show was politics is personal. Because as an immigrant, and I think this should be the case for everybody in this great country, politics is the way that you get in there and you can change your civic life, right? You have the power with your vote to choose who is going to be making the decisions on your behalf. And it's incumbent upon you to get educated and to understand who those people are, what their values are, what is important to them, what they are running on, how they will vote on all of these issues that will absolutely impact all of our families on a day-to-day basis. And even more so, you know, I would also talk about the importance of not just getting involved and going to vote, but running for office, right? That is one of the things that I think we should push all of our immigrant brothers and sisters to do, is to come in and run for office, to get that involved in your community, that if you look around and you think that no one is representing your interests or no one is standing up for the values that you think you represent, that your family represents, that your community represents, then you go, you know, put yourself out there, throw your hat into the ring and run for office. I think one of the things that my father loves so much about this country, one of the reasons why he brought us over from Colombia, is because you can essentially be the architect of your own future. And that's what he has always taught us. In this great country, really, in no other country could this happen, where an immigrant can come to this country and through hard work and playing by the rules and with, you know, their own gumption and creativeness, they can make a life for themselves and their family that they could never have dreamt of back in their own home country. And part of doing that is getting involved in politics and having a say as to what the laws are going to be, as to how you can run your business if that's what you want, right? What are the laws going to be as to what kinds of schools and how good the schools are going to be where your children are going to be brought up? What are going to be the rules whereas, you know, a woman can make her own decisions as to what her health care is, right? All of these things are in our own hands. And what I think the problem with immigrant families is they don't see that connection. And it's incumbent upon us, the people who are involved in politics, to make that connection absolutely crystal clear that it is their responsibility to get involved. But then we also have to make the case that it is their responsibility to get involved, right? So they come here, immigrants, I see it all the time. they're working two or three jobs because they are struggling to make ends meet. Well, maybe if they were able to, you know, take a little bit of time and educate themselves on who was running for office, on who was, you know, pushing for these laws or those, they could be part of the decision makers who decide who's going to lead them. Sorry, mi perrita. Who's going to lead them, not just in their local communities, but in their district, and then in their state, and then ultimately the country, right? This is why politics is personal. That was my hashtag for my show, and I still believe it to be true, to, you know, the depths of my soul. And I know that everyone who's involved in politics believes the same.
No, truly, I think both of us will agree with you, and all of us will agree with you, that this country was based on representation. It was built on representation, and pursuing that is part of the American dream. So I think that's really important. Thank you for expanding on that. Mm-hmm. And obviously both of you are very passionate about politics. We see that right away. You guys both decided to pursue it as a career. So that's really impressive. It's something that Andrea and I always aspire to. But what would you call your political awakening almost?
I would say for me, like I said, my background was in news, and it just so happened I was at a point in my career where I wanted to try something different. And I think fate played a part in it. And there was an opening in a governor's office as communications director right at the time I was thinking about transitioning. And then when the Governor Huckabee ran for president, I jumped on board with that. And for me, it became a situation where, as a journalist, I spent my career being fair and impartial and right down the middle and reporting both sides, but knowing that in my heart, where I stood politically, I was conservative, but as a journalist, I really kept things straight down the middle of the road. But now being in politics, I appreciate and I value and I like the opportunity to speak in support of issues that are important to me and speak in support of people who I support, and speak in support of policies that are important to me. And not only just doing so from a personal level, but also politically. I haven't been involved in any campaign since I've been with CNN, but I think it's really important to be able to follow through with what your policies are. For me, I'm very passionate about the life issue. I'm passionate about limited government. I'm passionate about fiscal responsibility and free markets, Second Amendment rights, support for Israel. And these are issues that, whether it's the local level or the state or federal level, it's important to advocate for these, whether it's on CNN or NPR, or whether I'm writing an op-ed. That's another thing that Maria and I also do is write for different news outlets. Sometimes it's for CNN, but I think, you know, realizing that politics was the place for me, I was blessed, and that my first foray into politics, within a year of being in, I was on a presidential campaign and going through Iowa, New Hampshire, and South Carolina, and seeing presidential campaigns front and center. Not many people get that opportunity right out of the gate, but when I was blessed with that chance, I knew I was hooked, and I really wanted to stay involved in the process, because I think it's really important, and it's important to realize that politics is it's certainly a lot about policy, but it's about good, solid, committed, good intentioned people making a difference. And anything I can do to help those people is what I want to do.
And I actually had a similar to Alice. I also feel that I was blessed in terms of kind of being at the right place at the right time, right? That doesn't take away from all of the hard work that it took, you know, for me to get to where I am. But when I graduated college, I came to DC. I knew I wanted to be involved in politics or policy. I wanted to use my bilingual capability but I wasn't quite sure what I wanted to do. And so I took an internship at a PR firm. And through that internship, I started meeting people in the political sphere. And I ended up meeting somebody who knew that the Democratic National Committee at the time, who had just elected a new chairman, an African-American gentleman by the name of Ron Brown, the very first African-American to lead a major political party, was looking, the DNC at that point was looking for somebody to head up their Hispanic media office. And it was the very first time they had created that position. And you know, that to me firsthand just attracted me to what they were trying to do, because they were sort of before their time, right? They knew that the part of the growth of the Democratic Party was going to be in communicating the message to this new immigrant class that was coming in and that was growing and starting to explode, though it still wasn't cool back then, right? It was kind of like Ron Brown, who was the chair of the DNC back then, you know, super brilliant strategist. He knew before, you know, before anyone else really did, Latinos were going to be the key, or one of the keys for growth in the Democratic Party. And so I just happened to know that they were hiring for that position. And I went to interview at the DNC for it, and I got the job. And so that to me was a blessing, because that really put me on my path for the political awakening, as you call it. I started to, you know, get a lot more involved in the Democratic Party policies and politics, which ironically was interesting because both of my parents at that point had voted for Reagan both times. You know, as immigrants, Reagan spoke to them in a way that, you know, he was very good at that, right? He famously even said, right, that all Hispanics are Republican, they just may not know it yet, right? But what he talked about in terms of, you know, again, working hard and playing by the rules, and but also describing this nation as a shining city on a hill, right? He was very welcoming of immigrants. All of that spoke to my parents, and you know, they ended up voting for him twice. And then when I went to the DNC, I started learning more about, you know, the nitty-gritty of Democratic Party politics, and that really spoke to me in a way that, you know, touched my heart, touched my soul. I was like, yes, these are the right things to do for a country that was founded by immigrants, a country that was founded on equality for all, but we're not quite there yet. What do we need to do to make sure to level the playing field for everybody? Then at that point, Ron Brown helped Bill Clinton get elected in 1992. And as such, Bill Clinton appointed Ron to be a Commerce Secretary. And so I went over to the Commerce Department with Ron to help him run the communications shop at this huge cabinet level department. I had no idea what I was doing. I was this 24-year-old woman, Latina, going into this huge, you know, antiquated 14-agency cabinet level department. And I was helping to lead the communication shops of all of the agencies. And so that in and of itself was a huge learning experience. But it really taught me a lot about leadership. It taught me a lot, and I learned a lot from Ron, who has been my political mentor, that you have to make sure that people are invested in what you're doing. And what I mean by that is when the new administration, the new Democratic administration went in 1993, to all of the agencies, but specifically for commerce, I followed Ron's lead. And what that meant was that he brought everybody to the table. I guess in the past, a lot of the administrations, both Democrats and Republicans, you know, went in there with their political appointees and it would be a scorched earth policy, right? You're either with us or against us. We know what we're doing. We know best. This is what we want to do. We don't care what you say. We don't care, you know, how you've been doing it. Ron was completely the opposite. He said, look, the only way we're going to succeed is to make sure that everyone here, the civil servants who have been here for years and years and years, and who will be here for years and years and years when we're gone, is for them to feel invested in what we're doing and for us to make them feel like we need them, because we do. And so I was able to form a team at each agency that I was in charge of from a communication standpoint. And these were white men who were more than twice my age. I'm telling you, like at these meetings, it was really weird. As a 24-year-old woman, girl, I'm sure in their eyes, and they were, you know, almost 60. And they ended up being some of my best allies in what we wanted to do at the Commerce Department. And so it was a wonderful, wonderful learning experience with, you know, lessons on leadership. From the standpoint of being a woman, from the standpoint of being young, from the standpoint of being a woman of color. It was all these things sort of wrapped into one that I was really blessed to be able to have experienced at the time.
I can just follow up on one thing that Maria just mentioned, and Donvi talked about something earlier about imposter syndrome. Mm-hmm. And let me just share something with all of you. I understand imposter syndrome. I think everyone feels that at some point, and specifically women. Mm-hmm. If you are invited to the table, you belly up and you don't go. If you are given an opportunity, you grab hold and you don't let go. Mm-hmm. If you are given a job, you take it and you run with it. Mm-hmm. And Maria sharing the story about taking this awesome job and as a young person and stepping in and doing the job, that's just awesome. And it's a great story for young people to realize that you have earned your spot. Yeah. You have earned the job. You have earned your seat at the table. And don't let anyone second guess you. Don't let anyone question your capabilities and your competency to do the job. And when you get that chance, mm-hmm. you take it and you run with it. And, mm-hmm. and just make sure that you also, when you see another woman or another female, or someone that you might feel they are second guessing their chance and you see they have the ability, you make sure and reassure them that, girl, we got here because we earned it and we're gonna show everyone exactly why we got this position.
Amen.
Period. Retweet. Something that stands out to me from both of your stories is, you know, you didn't get your start specifically in politics. You know, you were both journalism and media. And I think that's something really good to start telling the younger generation, because even before getting involved with women in politics, I definitely had that immigrant background of being involved. I am from Venezuela. So politics was, you know, dinner table conversation for our family.
Yeah, I would imagine.
We were talking about economics at a very young age for me. And so that kind of shaped my vision of politics. And I thought, okay, I have my opinions, but I'm not like an actual politician. I can't really do anything about this. But just in the past year, just being able to start talking to more people that are in the field, I've realized that you don't necessarily have to be a politician to mm-hmm. make your thoughts known and to make change. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something really important to start telling the younger generation. You know, you might want to become a doctor like me, or Donvi wants to go into business. You can go into business and do whatever you want, but you can also have your political opinions. You never know later on down the road where you might, you know, just segue into politics and run for office. Because that is something that can happen in your life. And that doesn't mean that you can't be involved in politics. So Alice, something that I want to talk to you about is your involvement with the Harvard Institute of Politics and how that's kind of getting the youth involved and promoting having those conversations, even if maybe students didn't initially have that idea of becoming involved with politics.
The key is to get involved. Keith Ellison, the prosecutor, just spoke after the verdict came down in the Derek Chauvin trial, and he said something that really resonated with me. He said, no one can do everything, but everyone can do something. And I think that's really important for young people and anyone who's even passing the idea through their head of politics. You can do something. And whether it is on the local level or higher, get involved. One of my students was interested in running for office, and I said, you know, look in your area. And he ended up running for school board, and now he's on the school board in Massachusetts. And I think it's really important that you realize you don't have to run for president, but there's something that you can do. And the key thing that I stress with the students there at Harvard is initially just having mutual respect for other people in the conversation of politics, whether you're involved or you're having conversations about it. And I stress to the students in terms of the different seas of politics, find common ground, show compassion, show ability to compromise, and have conversations. And those are the four C's that we always talk about. But most importantly, have compassion for the other side, be willing to listen to them, be willing to accept that there's two sides to every story. But getting involved in politics is extremely rewarding. You talk about Venezuela. I spoke at a woman's political group down in Colombia, and the women there had the same concerns and reservations about running for office here. And I think women need to encourage each other, because they're the key factors that keep women from running for office is they don't have the personal confidence, they don't have the networking, they don't have the ability to raise money. And then there's the mommy syndrome when you get older. So it's really important to make sure that if you have an idea that you go for it, you use your ability to network, whether it's other women, whether it is your social groups, whether it's your church, whether it's your friends, use the opportunity to network, because men certainly do have that. And if you get older and you have children, so many times people say, well, you can't do it because you have kids. Look, you might not be able to do everything, but you can work on time management and raise kids and get involved if you really want to.
I couldn't have said it better myself, Alice. As you know, I have two children who have been the lights of my life, but they've also been my inspiration in understanding how important it is to get involved, because this is going to be the world that they inherit. And if I'm not doing everything that I can to make sure that that world is as strong and as equal and as diverse and inclusive as I think it should be for them, then I don't think I'm doing my job as a mom. And it doesn't mean that every single mother has got to be working on a presidential campaign. No, like Alice said, you can do something, even if it's just having a meet and greet for a new woman candidate that you think has, you know, something in her that you, that has inspired you. You know, bring her over to your house once everyone is vaccinated, or do a virtual meet and greet, right? Those are the things that really matter at the local level. And again, if you have the time, and even if you have young kids, I mean, look at Nancy Pelosi, for God's sake. She has five children and she is the freaking Speaker of the House of Representatives. And she now has, you know, a gazillion grandchildren because she did not let that stand in her way. She used that as a reason, more of a reason, to get involved, because this is the world that our children, you all, are going to be inheriting. And it is incumbent upon all of us to do everything that we can to make it better and to make sure that it is as strong and that it will give everyone the opportunities that that we all deserve, and that especially our children deserve.
Right. And just to kind of like wrap up this episode, I want you both to tell me and just to tell our audience how you think, you know, the best way, you know, to the young girls that look up to you and, you know, see your career and aspire to be just like you, what is the best way to get started, to take that first step?
Alice, you go.
I'll jump in. You know, a lot of people say, how do you eat an elephant? You eat it one bite at a time. One bite at a time, one step at a time. So many times students would come to me and they want to go from point A to point Z so quickly. And what I stress to them is calm down, give yourself a break, find out what you truly, really do want to do, and take that opportunity. It might be with an internship. It might be with a really low paying job that you might not, it's not going to certainly be the end all and be all, but do what you love to do. Because then it won't seem like a job. It won't seem like work if you really love to do. And use the opportunity. Find a mentor. Find someone that you respect and you look up to. And maybe they're in the field that you want to do. And ask them how they got there. Ask them what they did, who they spoke to, and get tips from them. And rely on them to help you make connections. mentors had mentors in their past. Mm-hmm. So they did not get there by themselves. So find someone that can help open up doors, make references, make recommendations, help you find internships and jobs, and use that as a stepping stone to what you ultimately want to do. But realize everyone who is at the pinnacle of their career got there by sound, reasonable, rational steps that mm-hmm. got them to where they wanted to go. But they certainly did so by getting help and mentorship and advice from people along the way.
We all stand on the shoulders of others. And that is especially true for women. And it should be that way. And we have to make sure that when we are at a point where we are standing tall, we have to reach down and pull as many women up as we can. So what I would say to young women who are just starting out, you know, everything that Alice said is absolutely true. I think that you find something that you are passionate about, find an issue that you are passionate about. And sure, it can be politics in general, but why politics? Why is it that you feel like you're passionate about politics? Do you feel like something is not going right that you want to fix? What is it that you want to fix? What is the one issue or the two issues for you that you want to fix? What started really interesting me in terms of what I was doing, both, you know, from the time that I was working for Ron Brown up until I worked at the former INS, and then I started doing political commentary, is that I realized that when I spoke up, I was speaking for so many people who didn't have a voice. And I hear that to this day, right? When I hear from young Latinas, they say, oh my God, Maria, thank you for saying what you just said. You know, you speak for so many of us. Keep doing what you're doing. You are our voice. I feel like, and it doesn't, you don't have to have the megaphone that Alice and I have. You all have an incredibly important megaphone already. And you are just in high school. Look at you. I can't wait to see what you do in the next 10 years. We'll be working for you. But that's what you have to find. You all found what you're passionate about. Everyone can find something, and you can start to talk to people who are in that field. You know, Alice is exactly right, especially in this business, but really in every single business. We all know that that contacts and personal relationships matter so much, especially among women. You know, one of our colleagues at CNN, our dear friend, Brooke Baldwin, who sadly is leaving after 13 years at CNN, but she just has published her great book called Huddle. And her lessons in that book is that women find their power by huddling with each other, right? No one is out there on a limb by themselves. We are always stronger together. Thank you, Hillary Clinton. But she's right. We are stronger together. We are stronger when we pull each other up. We are stronger when I reach for Alice if I need help. We are stronger when I try to bring somebody along who might be stumbling. And what I always tell young people, and especially I have seen this way too many times among young Latinas, they think that it is a zero-sum game. And if Fulana gets a great job, that means that Sultana is not going to get one. And that is not the case. If I succeed, Alice succeeds. If Alice succeeds, I succeed. If both of you succeed, we succeed even more. You know, it is all a shared experience. And we have to make sure that that is ingrained in all of us, because we cannot have the mentality, what they call the crabs in a bucket, right? If somebody else is climbing up, I can't, you know, she can't climb up because then I'm not gonna be able to climb up. Let me pull her down. No, we are all stronger when we are climbing up together. And I think that is a critical lesson, because unfortunately, sometimes, especially here in DC, and you know, people see politics as a cutthroat profession, and it certainly can be. But that is why even more so women, I think it's incumbent upon women to change that and to make sure that we do that by example.
I agree.
Thank you so much for that incredible advice. I know I speak for both of us and so many other young women watching this, and just other young women that look to join politics, that the two of you serve as an inspiration. I mean, both of your political conviction and passion is so inspiring. And it's genuinely something that I think is an incredible quality for anyone to have. And the way you two facilitate all these bipartisan conversations, despite having different political opinions, is something that this country needs. And I think it's incredible that you guys take the initiative to do that. So thank you for that. And thank you so much for joining us on this episode of The Breakdown. We thoroughly enjoyed talking with the two of you. And we really encourage all of our viewers to go out there and listen to Hot Mics from Left to Right also. Thank you for joining us.
Well, thank you, Donvi. Thank you, Andrea. This has been so fabulous and it's been so much fun. I can't believe it's already over. You guys are doing amazing work. I can't wait to see what you guys will do next, but we loved doing this and we'll have to have you on our podcast next.
We would love that. And I agree. Thank you both for the opportunity. It's been really great. And we're so impressed with your willingness and your entrepreneurial spirit to pull this all together and for really sharing a really important message to young women in politics and in business and in life, really is sharing shared experiences and sharing information and sharing knowledge is the best way for each of us to succeed personally, but also as a group. And thank you for the opportunity.
Gracias.
Muchas gracias for being on our podcast. And guys, make sure you tune in for the next episode of The Breakdown. We love you guys so much. Thank you for listening.
Bye, everyone.